chapter number one this evening. And we're going to look a little bit into this thought by faith. We know our theme for the year for 2018 is growing very, very quickly to an end. Well, we should be living our lives by faith no matter what. But by faith, and we've done a lot of sermons with that thought, that byline, but by faith, planning for the new year. By faith, planning for the new year. I enjoy the time between Christmas and New Year because it's usually a time filled with things that I really enjoy doing, but also it gives us a heart and a mind and a focus to plan. And lots of times people during that time of year will specifically say, hey, I need to examine the things that I've done this past year and maybe look at some of the goals I place. I don't know if you're goal-oriented people or not, or if you have lists and things like that, but most years I look at things and I pray to the Lord about things I'd like to accomplish in that upcoming year. And I guess let the Lord work, kind of work in our hearts. And on Sunday morning, we'll probably look a little bit about looking back over this past year and considering our ways and the things like that on Sunday morning. But tonight, I'd like to look at this thought, by faith, planning for the new year. And one of the reasons why I don't know about you, I know Christmas means lots of things to lots of people. Sometimes people have a Christmas hangover by the time December 26th comes by. But for me, it's a time of rejoicing and a time of keeping things in the right heart and right spot. There's a lot of things that we remember at Christmas time that sometimes we forget throughout the year. So as I'm looking forward to 2019, as I'm looking forward to that next year, there are some things I want to take with me from that Christmas season, some things I've learned, some things I've been reminded of, and I want to take that with me as I'm beginning to plan what the future is going to be like and plan what next year should be like. And so that's why I thought, that's where the thought coming about planning for the next year by doing it by faith. Our theme verse for the year is Hebrews 11:6, but without faith is impossible to please him. And that's the first thing I want to say when I'm setting my goals, when I'm looking forward to a new year, you know what I want to do? I want to please him. And it's amazing that I can please God and, you know, sinful flesh and all the things. But the Bible says we can please him because it says without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as I'm considering planning for this next year, and if I'm going to do that by faith, I'm going to remember some things that I've just learned this Christmas season that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm going to transfer that in my planning for this upcoming year. Now, some people have things that they call New Year's resolutions. Some people have things that are called New Year's revolutions. Sometimes people just have, I've tried it before in the past, I'm not going to go ahead and do it. We should always be examining ourselves, so always asking the Lord to help us to step out by faith. And many times when after Christmas is over, there's things that are left behind, you know, things that are left over. Sometimes there's gifts that are left over. Sometimes there's bills that are left over. Sometimes there's memories that are left over. But the one thing I think we should always try to take with us is those wonderful truths that we've learned from the Bible during that Christmas season that can take us and carry us as we plan for the new year, but also help us to accomplish those goals that God has placed in our mind. So I like this time. Some years I go with the teenagers to the youth conference, and that is always a spiritual pick-me-up. There's always a spiritual kind of adrenaline rush that I always enjoy, and God always speaks to my heart. If I do not go to a youth conference, it's usually a few days without my sons at home, and it's the days of meditation, looking forward to what God has planned for me in 2019, what God lays upon my heart for the church for 2019. But I think we should all do that, but at the same time, let's not forget the things we just learned. So I got three things here tonight that I'd like to help us remember as we're planning for the new year. It's simple. It is a topical type message, but I think it's something that can help us as we plan for this upcoming new year if we're going to do this by faith. First thing I want you to remember, when you're setting down your goals and you're writing out, hey, these are my resolutions for 2019. These are the things I like to see God do in my heart and my life and what God want God to do. First thing, we need to remember, and it's a wonderful biblical truth we learned at Christmas time, remember God is with us. Remember God is with us. Look what it says in Matthew chapter number 1. And this is when the angel came and spoke to Joseph. And it says in verse number 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary unto thee, take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So he was thinking about putting her away privately, not making her a public example. The angel reveals this unto him, verse number 21, gives to begin some description of what he's talking about. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Man, you can imagine Joseph hearing that for the first time. Obviously, he's putting Mary away privily there. Mary has told him what was going to happen, and he didn't believe her. I mean, why else was he going to put her away privily if he thought he believed her? In verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with us and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so that's where that is one of the great foundational Christmas themes and doctrines, is that God came to man and he dwelt among us. And that is the fact that God with us. And that's as we're considering this thought for next year, are we setting our goals? Are we setting our plans? Are we making our plans with this idea that God is going to be with me? Because sometimes we go out and we try to make these plans on our own. We make it like it's all going to be about me, and I got to accomplish. This is all going to have to be on me. And if I'm going to accomplish it, I'm going to have to accomplish it. I'm going to have to do this. And we set up guidelines and lists. And I like lists. I like guidelines. But they should never, ever trump the presence of God and the power of God and God working and speaking in our hearts. So as we're writing out our goals for 2019, do not forget that God is going to be with you. Don't forget that as you're setting these goals, it's not stuff that we can do in our own power and do in our own strength, but God is always going to be with us. I love the fact in Matthew chapter 28, that Jesus had just given the Great Commission, told them to go into all the world, told them to preach the gospel and teach the gospel. And it says at the end in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He's telling them, now you need to disciple them, not just preach them, see them baptized, have them disciple. And then he makes this comment, and lo, I am with you all way, even unto the end of the world. And as you're considering this, I love that verse, and you think about it, he says, lo, I'm with you always. He didn't say, I'm gonna be with you. He's already with us. He's already with us. He's been through us. He's been with us through 2018. He's been with us throughout those other years. And we talked about last Wednesday night about the person who's left out of Christmas, and talked about the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Holy Spirit was at work. And we looked at that, and the Holy Spirit doing the work in Mary's life and Elizabeth's life, and the Holy Spirit doing the work in Zacharias' life, and the Holy Spirit leading Simeon, and how the Holy Spirit was at work at that Christmas and how he wanted to be at work this Christmas. And it's the spirit of Christmas and the thought that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to work. And we looked at Galatians, how he put his son's spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And Christmas reveals a profound truth that God is with us. On that first Christmas, Jesus entered into our world wrapped in human flesh. And today we know him as our Savior and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. So you say, Pastor, what is the truth here? So as you're making plans, it's God with us. He's planning. So if you're planning goals and you have things that you're interested in your family, you're going to include those people in your thinking. If I have goals for 2019 for our church about reaching out to certain people and reaching out to a certain group of people or doing something, I'm not just going to include what I can do, am I? No, we're going to include what our church family could do as a unit. We're not going to just think about when we plan for things like Kids Crusade, and there's a long list of things, and there's multiple people that need to be considered, and that these people are willing to help, and these people are willing to do this, and these people are willing to do that. As you're setting goals, you're not going to just look at it and say, okay, we're going to make the goal for Kids Crusade all what one person can accomplish, all what Pastor Pease can accomplish. Guess what? He ain't going to accomplish very much by himself. But when we put in our thinking what our plans are and what our goals are, if God is in our thoughts and God is the one that's going with us, instead of making our goals small and minute in what we can do, instead we can say, God is going to be with us, and God is, that's how I should plan. I'm not going to plan with just what my physical strength can do. I'm going to put God in the equation, because that means I'm going to do it by faith. Remember what the verse said there. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as we consider this, I'm going to remember planning for the new year. This wonderful truth is that God is with us. Just like he came and dwelt among us, he lives within us today. Second thing, go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter number 1. Another wonderful promise, another wonderful Christmas doctrine that is talked about and reminded of, and we should take this with us. We should not just leave this wrapped up in the pretty Christmas story thinking, okay, 12 months from now we're going to bring out and dust this off. Now, these are doctrines that we should use, and as we plan our goals and as we consider and we look ahead what God's going to do and what we're going to do in 2019, we need to remember God is with us. Secondly, we need to remember that the God that is with us can do anything. That the God that is with us can do anything. So we're not just talking about any little God. We're talking about the God that can do all things. So we're not just including this person helping us with Kids Crusade and this person. We're making these goals of humanly speaking, how many doors we can reach and how many this we can do and how many people we want to see the Lord save and how many this, how many that. We're serving and God is joining us. And as we're making this list out, I'm not just making a list out thinking, okay, I know God's with me. Okay, so maybe God will help me with what I want him to do. It doesn't work that way. And our list and our thinking should not be, okay, what is it? Okay, God's going to be with me, so what should I try to dream up about what I can do and what I should want to do? Now, we serve a God that can do anything, and we need to remember that when we're writing out this list. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Angel is speaking to Mary, and Mary responds by saying, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" We know that she has just been told she's going to have a child, and it's a reasonable question. "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So the explanation is given there. And in verse number 36, the angel of the Lord says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So there is a reminder there that God did the impossible in Elizabeth's life. And then there is a verse number 37, that famous verse, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So I want us, as we consider our goals and as we begin to pray, God, what are the things I should focus in on 2019? What are the things that you want to revolutionize in my life? What are the things that you want me to change about my life? Let's remember that God's going to go with us in 2019, but not just remembering that God is going to go with us, but the God that can do anything is going to go with us. I think about that model prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, and he says, "Our Father which art in heaven." And I consider that, and I think, you know, when I talk to my father, I used to think he could do anything. He was strong. He was a police officer. He carried a gun. I thought he was, you know, no one could ever hurt him. But I see him now at this age after multiple strokes, and I know he's human. And I know he's flesh, and I know he can't do everything. But when I go to my father would help me with anything that he physically could. And even if he couldn't physically help me, he would try to help me. But I'm not asking, and when I go to God in prayer, I'm not asking a God that is limited by physical things. I'm not asking God that is limited with financial restrictions. I'm not asking God that is limited by all these other human limitations. When I go to God in prayer and I pray and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven," it's a realization that I'm not praying to a human. I'm not praying to someone who's limited. I am praying to a God that can do all things. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And as I'm writing this list, and as I'm focusing on 2019 and saying, okay, I see where 2018 had its blessings. I see where 2018's had its downfalls. I see some things that I'd like to change and some things, and I'm going to become maybe a little bit more disciplined. I'm going to become a little bit harder a worker in this area, and I'm going to stop doing this a little bit more, and this seemed like it worked better. That we're putting this in the equation, say, you know what? God's going to be there with me, but it's not just going to be God there. It's going to be a God that can do all things. Put it this way. Are we reaching forward by faith? Are we just kind of plan using our normal resources? In 2019, are we saying, you know, God, I know you can do everything, and I know you can do anything. So with that thought in mind, I know you're going to be there with me. So I'm reaching out by faith and saying, God, I'm willing to try this. I'm willing to try to do this. I'm willing to, because I know you want me to, learn more of my Bible. I know you want me to be a better prayer warrior. I know you want me to be a soul winner. I know you want me to be a better wife, a better husband, a better child. And I know that I've struggled with this in the past, and I know that it seems like I can't get over the hump. But I, as I'm writing this goal out, I'm not doing it believing that that I can do it in my own strength. I'm writing believing that you're going to be with me, but not only are you going to be with me, you're going to actually be empowering me. And God can do all things. The virgin birth of Christ assures us that God, with God, there is nothing that's impossible. And when we relegate this truth to this end of this last week and carry it into the new year, you know what's going to happen? It's going to change our goals. It's not going to be, okay, maybe I can just do this one little thing. It's going to be, I can do this because this is what God wants me to do. The third thing. Not only is it a wonderful Bible Christmas doctrine about God being with us and that God can do anything, and I can imagine Mary in this response, she hears those things, and then see what she says in verse number 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She was reminded, okay, God did the impossible with Elizabeth, and now God's saying, I can do the impossible with you. Lo, I am with you always. There is a reminder of, hey, I was with you when you experienced this to the disciples. Remember when the disciples did all those miracles? It was by God's power. And he's saying, I'm going to go forth with you, and I'm going to be with you just as I'm with you right now. The third thing is, and this is probably one of my favorite things, is remember that God is sovereign and works through willing servants. Remember that God is sovereign and works through willing servants. Remember, it's important to remember, okay, God's with me. I'm okay. I can go do what he's asked me to do because he's with me. But not only do I just do the things that he's asked me to do, God can do something through me because God can do the impossible. And then this is another just reminding truth, is that God is sovereign. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows how to work out all the details. God can see all the way down the line and sees exactly what we need and when we need it and how much we need of it. And I love this truth. And on Christmas Day, we were eating dinner with some people, and we talked about our favorite parts of the Christmas story. And we went around the table, and we had a good time. One person talked about how Mary pondered things in their heart, and one person talked about how the angel went from one person to a multitude of people. One person talked about Joseph and his brothers in the Old Testament. Seriously, they says, that's my favorite Bible story. I know it's not Christmas, but I'm sticking with it. Joseph and the brothers down in Egypt. I said, well, we'll just pretend that the Joseph, the father there, and, you know, they had to go to Egypt too. I don't know about the brothers thing, but, and then one person had mentioned what's found in chapter 2, verse number 1. And it talked about how God could use an emperor to get his will done. And you see the sovereignty here. Joseph and Mary is not in Bethlehem. The babe is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary is still in Nazareth. Was Joseph and Mary not doing what was right? If they know the scriptures and they know he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, then why didn't they go there? I don't know all that stuff. But I knew that Joseph and Mary needed to be in Bethlehem. And guess what happens? God moves the king, the emperor's heart, to have taxes done so that way prophecy could be filled. And this says, and it came to pass in those days, chapter 2, verse number 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, from Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I don't know about you, but I like that thought there, that Mary and Joseph needed to get to Bethlehem. They weren't there, and God could use the emperor to do it. And I love the verse when it talks about in the book of Proverbs, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as a rivers of water. He turneth whithersoever he will. And I see that a person's heart and a person's emotions and a person's desires, they're in the Lord's hand. And sometimes when people are struggling with somebody else and they're like, man, that person's never going to change. That person's never going to do this or that person's never going to do that. I tell them, pray, because God says the heart of the king is in his hands and everyone's heart. And God can change the way a person looks at things or a person's desires about things just like that if he wants to. God is sovereign and he is in complete control, and he knows how to put the star in the sky for the wise men so they can see it, and then they start traveling to Jerusalem, and how God can know that he takes the barren woman Elizabeth at a very old age and puts a baby, or allows him to have a child, allows him to become pregnant. And, you know, there is amazing if you consider the sovereignty of God and the control of God. And as we're considering 2019 and we're writing these lists, am I writing out things that I'm in control of, or am I writing out the things that God is in control of? Because when I'm writing out the things that I'm in control of, they're going to be a pretty small list that, you know what, I can change my heart here, and I can do this, and I can do that. No, 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 but when it's God, God can use me to win someone to Christ. God can use me to make a difference in my family. God has the ability to take and use me to become whatever he wants me to be, to make a difference in someone's life. So these are powerful truths that we learn at Christmas time. And if we'll sit down and we'll pray and say to God, okay, God, here it is. I want you to tell me what you want me to change in 2019. I'm going to, first of all, remember that you're going to be with me. Secondly, that you can do all things. And thirdly, that you're sovereign. You can make the things happen. But here's the key, as he uses willing servants. You see the stories back there in chapter, we mentioned in chapter 1 and verse number 38, when Mary heard these things, she asked a question and then it responded, you know, God can do everything. Mary says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. So I guess the first goal and the first thing that we have to write down on that list in 2019 is, am I going to humble myself? Am I going to yield myself to God? Am I going to say, okay, Lord, number one thing on this list is the one thing that I'm in charge of. That's myself. I'm going to give my heart over to you. And I'm going to let you be the one in charge. Like Jesus himself said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The first goal that should be on this list and in this plan is the one to be yielded to God. You saw the stories that are found. You saw Joseph was told, don't put Mary away. He gets up and he does it. A yielded person to God. Mary, behold the handmaid of the Lord. The wise men, they saw the star. They kept on going. Even when the star went away, they kept on going. I think about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They kept on serving God even though they didn't get that child. Simeon was led by the Lord. Anna, the prophetess, stayed in there, stayed inside that temple giving, you know, sacrifices all the time. Things were not perfect in their situation. Their Christmas was not pristine and perfect, but they were humbled, yielded servants. So when we're considering this week, and maybe you do this, maybe you don't. I don't very rarely always do it between that week of Christmas and New Year's because it's so busy, but I begin thinking about it and praying about it. But there are some things I write down as goals. Sometimes for the church, it becomes months ahead of time. Sometimes it's a few weeks afterwards. Things that I thought God would like to see us do as me as an individual and as my family, even as a church. And the first thing that we should write down is, can I be yielded to him? Because God is going to go with us. God can do all things. God is sovereign. He can call fire. He can allow fire to come down from heaven. A whale can swallow Jonah. He can part the Red Seas. He can do anything because he's sovereign. He can stop the sun and hold it there. Whatever he wants to do, he can do those things. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that we learn about during the Christmas season that says he is sovereign because he can move that heart of that emperor to do exactly what he wanted to accomplish. And as we consider our 2019 thinking and our goals, let's remember God's with us. Let's remember that that God that goes with us, though I'm with you always, can do anything. And let's remember he's sovereign. But he works through willing servants. He works through people whose hearts are tender to him. And so as we're writing down that list of things, let's make sure we have a yielded heart. I guess a couple of things when you're setting goals. First thing, I think, these are just little side notes. Biblical goals come from God's word. Biblical goals come from God's word. You know, when we make a list of things, they become our personal dreams. Boy, I'd like to see this happen. I'd like to lose some weight. I'd like to gain these things when it comes to financial things. I'd like to see us do some improvements. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. But the biblical goals in our lives should come from the Word of God. A spiritual vision is viewing my life and my ministry through the lens of God and God's Word. The most important things of the Great Commission and my faithfulness. Biblical goals require faith. You know, sometimes some people make that list really easy and they tell you, make sure you put things on that goal that you know you're going to be able to accomplish. Don't say maybe you need to lose 50 pounds, but don't say you're going to lose 50 pounds. Say you're going to lose a pound a week. So you can come, and I understand their reasoning behind that, but we're not talking about us and what we can personally do. We're talking about by faith setting the goals for 2019, remembering that God's going to be with us, remembering that he can do all things, and remembering that he's sovereign. So a biblical goal, it requires faith. It's not just simply requires good administration. Does not simply require us being more disciplined. It means that we are a visionary. We want to implement wise things in our hearts and life to give God an opportunity to work and give God an opportunity to move. Like we saw on Sunday morning, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And at the end, you see what it was, that we could be a light in this crooked and perverse generation. How's that going to happen? It's when we surrender our hearts and we surrender our lives and we have the biblical goal of letting God work through us. And last but not least, biblical goals invent the future. So what do you mean invent the future? Now, we can set goals that help us become more effective. But when we have biblical goals and we live a life that God can respond to and a God that can bless, then we invent things that we've never even thought that God could do in our hearts and lives. We see God move and we see God reward us. And like the verse says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So 2019 is right around the corner. And I know Sunday morning we're going to look at some different things, examining our hearts and examining our lives that put us in the right perspective to begin 2019 with a bang, and not just because of the fireworks, but living for God and having a heart for God. But those goals, as you go and think about it, what God desires first and foremost is a yielded heart. And as you're making those lists and considering those things and considering your ways, and you're making a list, make sure you remember, as you make this, God is with me, that God that is with me can do all things, and that God that is with me that can do all things is sovereign. He can even move the hearts of people. He can move nations. You know, he sent a worldwide flood. He can do all things. He can make a difference in the lives that we're in today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.